Someone asked if you'll be jumping on the Canucks bandwagon now that the Flames suck.
No, the Flames have always sucked.
The Flames suck.
Yeah, no.
Or is the playoffs lineup decided already? I have not been
watching. No. They're like halfway through the season, but The Flames are just fucking, they're incredible.
We're not making it to the playoffs?
No.
We're not?
No. But it's good though.
Chance?
There's a chance, but there's like, there's no point. And they're better off just like trying not to win.
Oh, okay.
Get a better draft pick or some shit. These guys are garbage.
So you're not hopping on the bandwagon? Canucks bandwagon?
No.
Why?
But I don't know. I honestly, like, Canucks will rip it. They'll make it to the playoffs, but I don't know if they're like...
But you'll never support them, hey?
No.
Wow.
No hesitation.
No. I have my team. It's Calgary Flames. They're garbage, but whatever.
Is that your only team? You don't even have one in the States or something?
In the States? Honestly, I really like Colorado Avalanche. They're a sick team. I liked them when I was even younger.
What's up with that team? Even one of Tony's cousins is like really crazy about
it. I think it was just back in the day when everyone was like growing up, and if you played hockey or watched hockey, like they were just like a good team, you know? They had like some sick players on their team. Then they went garbage for a while. Now they're good again. But
Tony has the most like politically correct answer for who's like, obviously he loves like Calgary Flames and blah, 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 gets all like hyped up about them. But then if, let's say in the playoffs, if they're not in it, he'll be like, I always just go for the underdogs.
Yeah, that's everybody. That's everybody. Like, once your team that you cheer for is, like, they're not making the playoffs or they're not, like, advancing, you take the underdog every time.
Really?
Yeah. Just because everyone loves the fucking, you know?
Underdog story,
man. The David versus Goliath. That you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
It was like that year in, like, 2004 when Calgary Flames made the cup final.
Dude, that was the, let's not get into that again. That was the most iconic year of my life. And I've never, no year has ever topped that year. Solely because the Calgary Flames are in the playoffs.
I think it's also just like the age that you were at.
It was like an exciting time, you know?
Yeah.
But the Flames, that team was like beyond garbo. Like there was
The players were bad?
So bad. Okay. Like we had like two good players, man.
And they've made it to the playoff,
but that was like the underdog story, like, you know, nitty gritty. They just like they had no business being there. Like they just grinded their way there, you know. Yeah. Tuck in all, just like wouldn't lose, like somehow, some way. Remember they won like fucking that year, like 6 or 7 games in like overtime or something, like by barely fucking.
Yeah, even the last game, the last game, it was OT, right? Dude, it was too good.
Calgary technically won that year. We got jacked.
That year was the prime year of my life, like my whole existence.
Yeah, we literally had two guys. We had Jerome.
Jerome McGinley was like, I don't even know how to describe him. He was like the mayor of the city. He was like the president. He was like our Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Like everyone was obsessed with this guy. And when he left, it was like, he left. Like no one was really mad at him about it because they're like, you know what? We love you so much.
What year did he leave?
I don't even know.
That you deserve to win a Stanley Cup and you can't do it in this ruddy ass fucking city.
Yeah.
So just... and do it where you got to do it. Did he end up winning the cup ever?
No. He never did.
And then he retired.
Yeah. Now he's in the Calgary Flames organization.
Oh, he is? Oh, wow. Look at him, right?
So there's a other Gora, Craig Conroy. He was a player on that team that year when they went to the finals. He's the general manager now.
Oh.
They just hired him this past year. This year is his first year.
Oh, wow.
As the general manager. And then, one of the first things he did was I'm bringing Iggy with me. They just created a position for him. It's like assistant to the general manager.
That's sick. Yeah. I support that. Nepo.
And then we had him. And then we had...
I support Nepo.
I support that Nepo.
But we had him. And then we had the goalie, Kiprusoff.
Yes. Yeah. Yo, I was obsessed with Kiprusoff.
That guy single-handedly could our whole team.
Yes. Yes.
Like, yo.
I remember how obsessed I was with Kiprusoff because it was all about him that year.
Is that the same situation as the Canucks in 2010 or 2011 whenever the Canucks made it to the playoffs. Who was our goalie at the time?
Luongo.
Yeah.
But he was sick too. Like, he
got... What was that bully that went viral? Someone was singing like in the streets while they were doing like a Luongo bully or something?
I don't know. But Luongo was the shit. And then, but yeah, it seems like it's a kip, but it's a, seems like a kip or soft situation.
Yeah. But no, you guys at least that year had like some talent on the team. Like, you had those two twins. The Sedins, you had some like decent Bundy on that team.
Oh, what about that other guy? The one that was no, that's somebody else. Who is the guy that's on? He's like a sports like broadcast person.
Kevin Bieksa.
Yeah, was he on the team at the
yeah,
time?
Yeah, he was on the team at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys had like some decent talent. Like, Calgary had nothing. They had no business like even being in the NHL. It was fucking bad. But
was it Kipper's on right here? It was this one. It was
that was the one. But yeah. That's so random that you remembered that.
Yeah, because that bully was so funny, man. It was like cool to see like that Punjabi, you know, bully situation mesh with the celebrations.
But yeah, but Kiprasov, that guy took Calgary to the.
Yo, park, he, I love.
He
that
was
guy.
Unreal.
Man. What happened to me? Like, what?
He retired.
Right after that season?
No, like a couple years later, he retired.
Did he play for the Flames after?
Yeah, yeah. And then he retired as a Flame.
Oh, he did, eh?
He was like just like some like Russian banda.
Random
like,
guy, yeah.
Random guy. Like, he was playing for the San Jose Sharks. And he wasn't even their like backup. He was their backup's backup. He was the third on the list.
Oh.
It was like their starting goalie. Then they had a backup. And then they had this guy. In case like the backup.
This is Kiprasov?
Yeah,
Kiprasov. This is Kiprasov.
Kiprasov was a backup? He was like the...
Not even. He was a backup's backup.
And then we got him and he just like ripped it.
Then we traded for him and we gave like nothing because everyone's like, yo, he's a third string. Like, the chance of him making the NHL as like a starting goalie was like slim to none. Yeah. Like, it wasn't happening. So then Calgary just like traded for him. And because our team was so fuddu at the time, they're like, fuck it, we'll just take some shots in the dark. And they bought this guy over and this guy fucking beast moded it, man. He was like unbelievable.
He was just waiting for someone to give him a chance.
Yeah.
He was just fucking on one, yo. For the, like, not even just for that playoff run, but just in general.
Yeah.
He was so good. He would make the craziest fucking saves. Like, the wildest shit. And everyone's just like, how is this banda doing this? Like, single-handedly saving Calgary. And then, yeah, then he retired. And then one time I even heard from, like, people just, like, obviously I don't know, like, how true this story is, but I just heard from people that, like, between periods, this guy would just be in the back smoking cigarettes and shit.
No!
Yeah. Yeah. But like back then hockey, I heard there was a lot of that shit. Like people, like players and shit, like they would go like smoke like off to the side or like, you know, whatever. Like, it was like the fitness and the
good
nutrition.
Old days.
Yeah, the good old days. The fitness and the nutrition wasn't like there. Yeah. But now, like, that's why so many young kids are like coming to the NHL and they do so good and so crazy because it's like they're training all year round. They're like, you know, their fitness, nutrition, everything's like top of the line. They're working with these crazy like fucking, you know, trainers and shit like that. Whereas back in the day, like these bandits, they're just like fucking whatever. Half these guys had like old girls out and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a goalie doesn't need to move as much as the
player.
No, he needs to be, reflexes need to be on
the
point.
Reflexes.
No, not even the reflexes. Yo,
they need to be able to do the splits and shit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But not even that. You're wearing like 50 pounds of gear. And I've, like, we play ice hockey and I've been the goalie in ice hockey, just like when our goalie doesn't show up or something. You've
been the backup to the backup.
I've been like the backup's like friends.
The Zamboni driver.
The Zamboni driver. Yeah,
not even. I'm the guy that's like fucking shoveling the snow after the Zamboni cleans. That's me.
Even the Zamboni requires skill.
And then so like obviously like you're like, dude, impossible. Like, I never ever can make it through a full game without having to like. Every time the puck leaves our zone, I would just be sitting on the ground. Dude, because it's so tiring. On your fucking legs, Matt, you're constantly in like a squatted position. And then every time they're in the zone, it's like you fucking fall on your knees, stand up, fall on your knees, stand up, fall on your knees, stand up, push to the left, push to the right. Like, you're constantly and with 50 pounds on. So imagine that for fucking like, you know, 15, 20 minutes a period times like for an hour, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking hard.
Get Grindor questioning the goalie's ability, his athletic abilities. Single people, listen up. I know you're hearing all these crazy dating stories on the podcast and you're thinking to yourself, But where do I meet someone normal? Where? I wish someone could just hook me up with a normal person. Click Matchmaking is where you have to go, okay? Click Matchmaking is a membership-based matchmaking service where they connect you with like-minded individuals. The founder was born and raised here, and she understands us. She gets it, all right? You want to meet someone who has similar values and understands, you know, growing up here with all the, you know, traditional values, all that type of stuff. You just want someone that you can vibe with. It's a personalized experience where you'll meet with a matchmaker and get to share what you're looking for in a partner, and they'll find that person for you. Because let's get real, okay? Trying to find a life partner is a more than a full-time job. Each person in their database is personally vetted by one of their matchmakers, so you don't have to worry about meeting people who aren't authentic. You know, you show up to the date, the guy's pictures are 10 years old, you're like, what the, aagi ho gaya, aagi ho gaya. Some chicks out here catfishing you with all these filters. People are pretending to be single, but they're actually married. That happens way too often. Or people just plain ghosting you and you have no idea why. You can trust that the people on this database that you would be matched with are also serious about finding that special someone. And there's people from all over Canada and the US on the database. They have a 77% match rate. You guys can register for free at www.clickmatchmaking.com. And they also have various plans that you can choose from if you're a little bit more, you know, need to find someone, you know, time is a ticking. Then you can mention the podcast for a discount. www.clickmatchmaking.com. Yo, what's going on with that whole like sexual assault like case and stuff? They pulled a Flames player?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
I don't know. Then like the 2018, I don't know, one of these like Junior World Cup hockey things, there was like some girl that recently came out and said that she was like, I didn't read the full details. I don't even know if the details of exactly what happened are even out yet, but there was something, some sort of sexual assault that with five players. And from different teams. And one guy's not even in the NHL. He was just like playing in some other league. But four guys are in the NHL. And then Calgary, he's one of the guys on Calgary's team.
And they like pulled him.
Actively on Calgary's team?
Actively,
right now?
Yeah. Well, he took leave, like a mental health leave or whatever. And then, but the organization, like the Flames, they're like, we didn't even know. Yeah. Like, we didn't even know this happened or this was even going on. He requested like the mental health, and because of the NHL Players Association, they have to do that. Yeah. So then he took like a leave from like the organization for mental health purposes. And then like a week later, it came out that like, they have to like, you know, the police are going officially charging these guys now and they have to turn themselves in. And then Calgary Flames are like, yo, well, we didn't even fucking know. Like, yeah. You know,
oh, damn.
But that, every organization is like, yo, we didn't know. Who knows? Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But I usually feel like these guys do know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So they're like suspended now, or like they're out for life type of deal?
No, they're suspended now. Mm-hmm. Like no team. I don't think any of the teams have like cut ties with the players. But there's a 99% chance, even if they're found not guilty, that they'll probably get cut from their teams.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Just because the scandal.
Yeah. It's just a huge like PR
thing. It's a liability at the end of the day.
Because all these organizations, sports organizations, they run based on fans. Yeah. So if your fan base is like fucking like, you know, yo, what the hell are you guys doing? Why are you guys, he's a sexual assault, blah, blah. And if your whole fan base is doing that, that means not all your sales are suffering. Ticket sales, merchandise sales, everything. Yeah. So then you're better off just like letting that player go to keep the fan base happy.
But what if he was like wrongfully accused or whatever?
Yeah, but now they're going to try, I guess, like that.
So there is like some evidence to suggest.
Well, he's being charged, so there probably is like evidence.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even then, even if he's found like not guilty or whatever, just probably to save face. Like, I think the best case scenario is if they say, yo, never mind, you guys are not guilty. The teams will probably allow these players to finish off their contracts and then just not re-sign them.
Mm.
Let them like go find another team or something, right? Like players leave all the time. So they'll probably do that. But there's no chance the team's like going to re-sign this player for long term. Unless he was like a top 10 player, then there's a very good chance the team's like, oh, shut the fuck off, fans. Like we're going to win some games here.
Yeah. That was my next question, is like, what kind of a player is he? Is this something, someone that...
No, he's fucking garbage.
Oh.
Hopefully we suck really bad this year and then we can get some good players in the next draft.
Yeah, that's the goal. But then our drafting's so fucking garbage too, man. Sometimes I look back.
Pick the wrong.
Yeah.
Even if they get a good pick.
They never had, I don't think the highest pick they've had was fourth overall. So like first, second, third, and they got fourth. That was like the highest. And it was that Fuddu, Sam Bennett. Highest pick in Calgary Flames history. This dude's fucking garbage. Like, so tutty. Couldn't even do a pull-up at the combine.
Was
like,
there a fifth pick that did better than, is doing better than
I him? Think everyone in that draft is doing better than him. No. He's like pure, like,
what fucking. What the heck?
Yeah.
Yo, why can't we get our shit together? I just don't get it. I'm sick and tired of hearing everyone talk about how Calgary Flames suck.
For some fucked up reason, I don't know why, like, most Canadian, I think particularly Calgary is the biggest. Like, they're so, like, dedicated to just drafting Canadian-born players. Like, they don't fuck around in, like, Russia. Like,
why?
They do. They recently have started doing it, like, in Finland a lot now. But, like, I don't know why. It just, like, it drives me insane. Because that's because our whole organization, a bunch of these fucking redneck cowboys, these guys are just like, oh, fucking Canadians, whatever. Oh. But these, some all of these Russian
made
guys.
Made in Canada
stuff. Yeah, but these Russian guys, yo, some of these guys are fucking unreal. Unreal. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? And then you look at teams like in the States, they focus like a lot in like Europe and like Russia and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And so they find these players like way later in the drafts that are just like unbelievable. Like there was this, okay, one team, they Chicago Blackhawks, they drafted this guy. His name was Panarin. And he played, when they drafted him, he went up to the general manager and he's like, yo, I have a friend in back in Russia, we played on the same team.
Pure desi kam. You're a friend of my cousin. He live in my village.
Yeah, but he was like, yo, he's like, my boy's like back there. Like, yo, his name's like, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko, whatever his name is, right? And he's like, yo, he's very good player. He, no team has like put him on any list for scouts or scouting purposes or draft purposes. But teams can go and pick these players out. If they like players in these different like countries, if they're in certain leagues, teams can just draft them. They're undrafted, they're called. So then this guy's like, yo, you guys should go there, whatever. And they're like, but chill the fuck out, okay? Like, you brush your fucking teeth, play fucking hockey here. Yeah. And then...
brush your fucking teeth and play hockey.
Yeah, they're like, we didn't fucking, you know, draft you to give us scouting advice. Yeah. We fucking drafted you to score some goals. Another organization, St. Louis, they heard that he said that to, like, the GM, and the GM kind of brushed him off. So then they sent a scout to Russia and was like, yo, go find this guy, Vladimir Tarasenko, watch his games. And that guy's like, yo, this guy's pretty fucking sick. They drafted him, undrafted. They just like called him up like, yo, let's go. You want to come to the NHL? He's like, let's do it. Brought him over. Lights out. Unreal player. This guy was so good. Yeah. For like 5-6 years, he was like scoring 40 goals a year. Like that's high, right? Like 40 goals a year, picking up like 60, 70, 80 points. Like he would basically a first round pick. Like if they had what the numbers he was putting up or what people that got drafted in the first round, that's what they were putting up.
Wow. And they probably got him for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, they just for nothing, because your first round draft pick is like so important. And these guys just fucking went to Russia, found some random fucking pakoda just playing in some random league for nothing, for free. Yeah, for a plane ticket, man. And the amount, yeah, and this guy, fuck, he was a sick player, man. He's still in the NHL today.
See, like, sports is, like, interesting like this.
Yeah, see, I don't mind this.
Like, I like all the behind-the-scenes stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was recently, probably in the last, like, 6 months to a year, there's this college football team in the U.S., and they're the quarterback and one of the wide receivers. They're, like, best friends. They're, like, boys, right? And before one of their biggest games, like, a week before, 2 weeks before, the wide receiver, not the quarterback, the guy that catches the ball, he got into a car accident and died. And obviously, like, and the quarterback, that's the guy that's throwing the ball. He's like one of the most important players, if not the most important player. But that was his like best friend. This guy's like devastated, whatever, right? Then they're like playing, then that 2 weeks go by, whatever, that game comes along, they're playing in that game. Very first like time that quarterback gets the football, they're like playing, it's in the same drive, and this guy throws a long touchdown. And the touchdown was 47 yards. And the player that passed away, his number was 47. Ooh. And it was exactly 47 yards. Like, it's hard to fucking draw that up. You know what I mean? Because you're just throwing the ball. Like, if I throw you, like, because the guy caught it, like, 10 yards from the quarterback. So imagine you're standing 10 yards from me. I throw it to you. You catch it. You turn around and you make, like, 2-3 moves. Guys can't tackle you. And you run for 47-yard touchdown. Like, it was like that. Yeah. Like, that's crazy, man. Shit, like those like feel good stories, you know?
Damn. That's like Kyle's always talking about how sports is so romantic like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good skin is in 2024. All right. Makeup is out, skin is in. I mean, it should have been in last year too, all right? But I vowed to myself starting this year, I'm going to take my skin care seriously, doing legitimate treatments, using proper, you know, medical grade skin care that actually makes a difference. So come hop on the bandwagon with me and go see our friends at Fresh Canvas to treat your skin good this month. And you'll be thankful that you did. Consistency and maintenance is key, you guys, in good skin health. Fresh Canvas Deluxe Hydra Facials and their 24 karat gold Oxygenio Facial is the perfect gift for your Valentine. So they're going to be 15% off this month, and check out their limited time laser package for only $240, where you can get full legs, Brazilian, and underarms just in time for Valentine's Day. February specials include $199 for microneedling and $425 for their Secret RF Advanced Microneedling, which is great for pores, texture, scars, pigment, and more. Remember, you guys, if you want to support the podcast, support our sponsors. Check them out, Fresh Canvas Spa. And remember, you guys can also get 15% off skincare brands like IS Clinical, Elta MD, Zoll Skin Health with the code COACHES at checkout at www.freshcanvasspa.com. Have you guys seen that show Griselda?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Not yet.
But it's one of those stressful. Did you Google Griselda?
Yeah, okay. So
I Googled her. I was watching the show. I saw her. I was like, wait a minute.
Okay.
This is not adding up here. In the show, they're making her seem like some, you know, like really like good looking. She used her like, you know, looks to get make her... I was like, buddy, I saw this fucking little Tindle just walking by. Fucking.
So Sofia Vergara is playing this lady, Griselda, who's like one of the most notorious.
Yeah, I know all about it, but I have not watched the show.
Okay, so the first line you see, like when the show plays, it's a quote that Pablo Escobar said. He said, "The only man I ever feared was a woman named Griselda Blanco."
Oh.
And so I was like, damn.
Then I'm like, yo, what the hell? I'm watching the show. Like, all these guys are like, oh, I feel like you're my past lover. I feel like... I'm like looking at her pictures. I was like, no, man. If this Muckerton...
Muckerton.
So, okay, so Sofia Vergara is playing her, right? Yeah. She's unrecognizable in the show.
Because when I saw the little thing, I was like, is that her?
The prosthetics that they did on her, like, she looks like someone who had botched plastic surgery. In the show, that's how bad she looks, in my opinion, right? Griselda Blanco's actual son.
He's still alive.
He's still alive, the youngest one.
Michael Corleone.
Yeah, he came out and said that he's pissed off that they made his mom ugly in the show. Because she was the most beautiful lady and men called her the porcelain doll. And that she was the... creme de la creme, and that politicians wanted to sleep with her and this and that, and everyone was trying to court her. You Google this lady?
Have you Googled her?
Yeah. Yo. I know what she looks
like. You're like,
excuse me?
Bruh. You cannot tell me that you thought Sofia Vergara was gonna be looking,
Vergara
was gonna be looking like her hot ass self while playing your mom. Like, please.
Yeah. And that honestly, they didn't even, I don't even think, compared to her actual ugliness, this is like a huge upgrade.
Like, it's not like they made her like her so ugly to look exactly, you know, like the mom. Yeah. Like, they just changed her face a little bit to like make her.
Where's Salma Hayek from? Do you think she would have been better for the?
No. So I really like how she played this role. Okay, she did a really good job.
Yeah, that one picture of her, like Griselda, when she's like older.
Yeah, she just looks like your typical, like, you know, like
Mexican mom.
That's what she looks like.
Yeah, like I wouldn't see, like, you know, billion dollar worth of drug dealers like falling for her. I was like, dude, there's no chance,
man. Yeah, like they're definitely recording her because she was worth $2 billion.
Yeah,
not because of her looks.
Well, yeah, but it's crazy, like, that, like, what, how did she do that? How did she get there?
She just,
because there's obviously plenty of hot people in this world, hot women, but like, they're not running these like crime rings with their looks.
She's fucking ruthless. That's the thing.
Yeah, she just killed everybody.
She also, this show is very good at showing that she's a fucking psycho. Like, and I don't think Pablo Escobar was scared of her because she was like a crazy drug dealer or whatever. She was just a psycho.
Yeah, he was just scared of her, like, keep on the way.
Yeah,
right?
Like, she's that type
of scared.
Like, that type of scary. Yeah.
Pablo Escobar came after her?
No, they were around during the same time.
Oh, okay.
Like, she ran Miami, yeah, and Pablo Escobar was running, like, Colombia.
But they had to work together in order to do that, right?
No, like, there's multiple...
How were they getting things from...
No, there was just, like, back in the day...
But there were multiple suppliers, yeah, multiple there wasn't smugglers,
just,
yeah, and multiple
it wasn't just, markets. Like, Pablo Escobar. There were so many, like... There's like the Cali cartel. They had like these guys. There's so many different cartels that were like smaller. Some were bigger. Like Pablo Escobar was like at the top of the chain, but there was a bunch of smaller ones that were very close to like his level. And then so like when people, they're all sending drugs to America, like yeah, through their own channels. Everyone had their own territories. Like Pablo Escobar had like this section of Miami or all of Miami. She had like her own little section of it. Like it was kind of like that.
So they were rivals at one point?
I don't know if they were rivals. I don't know. They don't really get into that. They just talk about her operation.
Her rise to
her
like power.
Rise to like the top of her like sector or whatever. Essentially how she did it was that she tapped into like the rich white people in Miami.
Oh.
And no one was selling to them.
Oh.
Before. They were all selling to like the immigrant, like, you know, low income type of people. And then she was like figured out that, dude, like they're too scared to go out and buy these drugs, but they want them. And they got the money to buy them. Yeah. So we should be tapping into this. So that's essentially what she did.
She just found an opportunity.
She found an opportunity and took it, dude. And it's estimated that she was pulling in $80 million per month.
Month?
Yeah. And by the time she died in 2012, she was worth $2 billion.
But all these fucking like cartel type ones, they're bringing in like stupid money. Like you can't even fathom. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm like. Honestly,
does she have like a
sense?
Money laundering operation set up too?
I don't know. They didn't like get in. It was more like the show just shows more about like the lengths that she went to stay on top. It wasn't like how her business essentially ran or anything. Yeah. It was like all the crazy shit that she did to make sure that she stayed on top.
Is it done? Are all the episodes on?
Yeah.
Netflix now?
Yeah, it's a limited series.
Yeah, okay. It's like six episodes.
I just don't like waiting for things.
If no, it's like fully, you can fully watch it. Yeah, and then that's one of the things that the son is now suing Sofia Vergara and Netflix because he was like, they didn't ask permission of the family.
Well, that's what every show that's made on about somebody.
Like they technically like
permission
don't.
For what?
To use like the Griselda Blanco's like likeness and her name instead of her family's name.
You have to ask for that shit?
No, you don't because it's all public information.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, right? Some lawyers are saying that he does have a case because the children, her children, don't like technically they have a case that we didn't agree to this and the story isn't about us. So we shouldn't be in the show.
Because even so, I saw this one video of her son and how he's talking about like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. They didn't show this properly. So he's talking about it and he's like, now with my own family, with my own kid or kids, I do this because, you know, my lifestyle allows for it, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, damn, he still has access to like the funds.
I'm assuming she probably set him up somehow. Yeah. Like
I think a lot of her money was seized.
Yeah, but she must have been smart enough to like put it away or something like that. Or
yeah, I'm sure they had like cash.
Bought some like property or something and had like something like that, you know?
It was probably, they probably had a bunch of cash. Back then, everything was just cash, you know? Fucking Pablo Escobar's got fucking barrels buried to this day.
Imagine like 5,000 years, they're, you know how like we find like dinosaur bones or like.
They're just excavating
money, they're excavating cash.
Yeah, it's the same thing like these.
Cash money.
No, but it's the same thing like pirates. When they had their ships, the ships would sink or whatever, hidden treasures and shit. And then people find them like years later, like hundreds of years later. And they're worth so much money. Yeah. This is like obviously paper money. So if it somehow survives, it doesn't get eaten by fucking shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The paper money that will like disintegrate.
Yeah.
You think so?
It just depends on how it's packaged.
Look at the people that were hiding those like Indian rupees under their mattresses turning into dust.
Oh, shit. What?
Remember when like India was like, oh, we're going to get rid of like... these like denominations,
the $100 bill and the $500,
right? And then people were like gathering up all the shit that they had from like way back in the day that they're storing under their mattresses to go get them exchange. Yeah. And then so many of them were like dust, turned into dust because they're so old. Yeah, but the Brampton car dealership like phenomena is it's like someone needs to do a case study on it because it's so crazy. How that one dealership made that viral video and everyone has been like copying that essentially. Like copying the formula and it's working.
Is it?
Yeah, because the other dealerships that have done it have views like in the millions.
Okay, but see, I don't care about views. I care about sales.
So that's the other thing. That's what I care about too. I'm like, is this actually translating? And it looks like it is because like one of the dealerships makes videos with the people that are purchasing the cars. And it'll be like the girl like that can't speak Punjabi, trying to speak Punjabi, interviewing the people who just like bought it. And usually it's like, you know, someone from India or whatever. Yeah. But they're like holding like a box of Mirtai and they're it's like this whole like thing now. Like, I think it might be working where it's like, if someone's looking for a car, like, oh, let's go to that dealership, that one that makes a viral video, whatever, you know? Or I don't know. It is working, though. Here, let me find the... This is the one video right here. Like, look.
Actually, my cat has the same eyes. My congratulations, guys. Jetta, jetta, jetta. Rose na rose, koi na koi jetta de delivery honda hai ya. So, aaj 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 fir duji da jetta de delivery kar rahe hai, toh ina toh experience puch daya. Hello, ji, kiwe ho? Especially, Google te jaake search ki te ki Ruxandra kiri mitai pasand hai. So, gulab jamun leke aaya, te nale milk.
Her Punjabi's not that bad. It's like good that she's able to have a conversation.
Apne chapi, te eh menu de deo, te tisne enjoy karo apna giddi.
Apna gaddi.
The reason why these guys are doing so good is half these fucking horned up desis are like, yo, pando, gori batti out there, right?
Fuck oh, jab mujhe aayi rasgulla aur
minnu khaogi mithai, right?
But honestly, maybe.
It is, man. These fucking desis all fucking pumped up and shit like, sick, right? Trying to get the clout. That, and I also think a lot of it has to do with like, now that there's so many people coming in at like such a high rate.
They need cars.
No, not only do they need cars, but think about it. Back in the day when we were younger, right? What Punjabi person did you know that really had a dealership? No one, really. Mm-hmm. And if they did, it was like some fucking truck yard type situation with a little trailer and an office. Like, it wasn't like a legit setup. Now these like younger guys are getting older and they know that these cars do good. They can make good money on it. So they open up like nice showrooms, like shit that desis want, the type of goodies that they want. And it just drives traffic, right?
There's this one podcast that I listen to and one of the guys has this, it's like a company, I guess you could call it, where because he's very into like data. Like, and one of the things is he collects data on all these companies that...
What a really creepy thing to be interested in, right?
Make more
That's
than...
That's like Cam.
Cam who?
Cam, like the Planet Events guy.
He's into data?
He's like a data guy. He loves data.
It's apparently like data is the next like... Like when you like drill somewhere and you find oil, it's like that's data is the next like oil.
Yeah, because if you have the data, then you can essentially sell anything.
Anyways, but he started this thing where he has a like a website where people can submit his. Yeah, I do love the data industry, where people can submit information on their company like kind of anonymously. His thing is like you have to be making more than like 5 million a year or something in sales, gross sales, and you submit like your information about like the industry that you're in, the how you like it's like asset allocation, how much you net, how much you pay your employees, how much you take home yourself, like as a founder. He's like, it's all the pretty much I ask all the questions that people are wondering, but they're too afraid to ask someone directly, like if they know someone that's, you know, makes a lot of money or something.
Okay, then what and do they do with this?
So how Pammy's saying like, oh, somebody should like look into this information of like, how is this working for these dealerships? Like, is this form? Because you know how she was like, oh yeah, well, it looks like they're all their views are going up, even though
you know what I like about
thing.
Data points though, they get to the point.
Yeah. Unlike Raveen. I'm just sitting here, I'm like, what the fuck?
No, but then I asked, I'm like, well, that's all views, but how about, is it translating to sales? Like, that's what I want to know. But that's something that you have to talk to these people directly.
Yeah. Okay, so what about...
That I want to do that, but I just... What about that guy? I'm already doing too many other things.
Who's this guy? The $5 million?
He already has that type of a business.
Yeah, but what does he do?
He just collects that information.
What does he do with it?
He has a like a landing page set up where it's like literally it's like a chart or something.
I think using that data, you can create like strategies.
Yes.
Of how people can. That's all you had to say and you couldn't get to the point.
No. And you need to explain the whole thing.
I was like, what the fuck is this talking about? Oh, so like if someone wanted to open up like a car dealership, they could go to that landing page and see how much money they're making.
And then this is how they're allocating their funds. This is how much they're spending on marketing. This is how much they're spending on legal. And at the end, yeah, they might be making $10 million, but the founder is only being paid $30,000 a year in the end. Like, they're trying to track all that? Because you know how nowadays, like, people will be like, oh yeah, I own my own business, but that could either mean you're losing money or you're making money.
I was recently, I think, I forgot who it was, we were talking about like how much McDonald's franchises make, because McDonald's are franchise, right? And like, they pull in like millions a year. Like one McDonald's store can pull in like millions.
In gross sales
or whatever. And then I was like, I wonder how much the franchise owner makes. And like, we were looking into it, and the average is like $100,000 a year, which is like nothing compared to the millions that they're pulling in. And I was like, oh, damn.
But that's what I always say. I've said it so many times. I'm like, people underestimate how much work the restaurant industry is for the amount of money that you're actually going to make. Like, you're literally going to be working your fucking ass off for so many years before you start seeing like decent profit. You're basically buying yourself a job.
If you are. Because there's also, it's very easy to lose money.
All right, guys, let's hop into the Coach Asada portion of the podcast where we answer your questions, react to your stories. Please don't take anything we say seriously. We're just talking that shit. If you need real professional help, please reach out to someone who knows what they're talking about. This is just for entertainment purposes only. Okay, first submission. Here we go. Get ready. Buckle in. Hey, coach, love the pod. Please read this on the podcast. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm stuck in a pickle. My husband and I were on a mini vacation, and as we were about to check in to our hotel, we spotted my husband's brother with my chachi. She's a modern, very young chachi. Together, we didn't approach them because we were in literal shock, but now it's all making sense because they're always talking at family events, and my husband doesn't get along with his brother. Hence why he doesn't know. How would you approach this situation?
Hence why he doesn't know what? That he's with his chachi?
Her chachi.
Her chachi.
It's not his own chachi that he's with.
Whatever. It's still a chachi. It's not a pua that's like could be married, could not be married.
Confront his brother, or should I tell my chacha? Where do your loyalties lie in this situation?
Whose loyalties?
Like the girl who's submitting.
Yeah.
Her chachi
is cheating on her chacha.
Is cheating on her chacha with her husband's brother.
Yeah, you have to tell your chacha.
Your loyalties lay to your. But what about her brother? Her husband. Yeah, actually. Your loyalties do lie to your chacha because that's your dad's brother.
Yeah.
And the chachi, she just married in. So.
Yeah. The chachi has the least amount of loyalty.
In this whole situation. Yeah, she has no loyalty points.
Yeah. She's showing no loyalty, man.
Oh my god.
You gotta rack up them points, bro.
But also, wouldn't you say this is one of those things where I don't know if there's any benefit of not saying anything at all?
I mean, there is, because the benefit is it's not your problem, so you don't have to stress about it.
Yeah,
I mean, you can choose to just ignore it and hopefully someone else busts them.
Yeah.
Or you can just, you know,
all things come to light eventually.
Or you can just blow it all up. I would do it.
How risky? You would do it? You blow it up?
I would do it for the pot.
Yeah, Girk 100% would do it.
Yeah. 1,000%. I would tell the cha-cha so fast. I would call the cha-cha on the spot.
Hello?
So was this a local mini vacation or what? Where was the...
Doesn't know if it's local. Yeah, it's probably like a staycation.
Yeah.
Like they probably live in Surrey. They went to Van type of deal.
Yeah. Or Kelowna.
Yeah, or something like that.
Right? That's probably what it was.
But then you have to come up with like proof and shit.
If you're already at the same hotel,
that's what I'm just saying. Take a picture. Like, I feel like it's just gonna complicate things.
Unless you like took a picture.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, just take a picture of them together and then just fucking send it to your chacha.
Now this is past. This.
Yeah. Unless you have proof, then just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, because then you're gonna end up spending so much time trying to prove yourself.
Prove it. Yeah, you're wasting energy.
But if it was like, oh, the chachi mistreats the chacha and she's screwing him over in all these other ways, then it's like, okay. And the chacha is just, you know, some poor innocent guy. Then that'd be one thing, but...
Is a fight worth fighting?
I think so.
Fight worth fighting?
I think so. I think you have to go in there, guns blazing.
Yeah, after this guy's talking all about all the growth, the personal growth he's doing.
He's trying to regress.
I turn around so fast and run to the chacha.
Yo, these young chachis out here, hey?
Yo, chachas and chachis the last while.
They're cha-ching for sure. They're cha-ching.
Cha-cha, yeah, the cha-chas.
The cha-cha slide.
Yeah, but she's doing the cha-chi. Yeah, the cha-chas just fucking sitting at home having bags. This chick's all fucking Seattle, you know, discoing.
You have an event coming up, any type of event, okay? Let's say like it's a bridal shower. Let's say it's a baby shower, a birthday party, mendi party, wedding event, whatever it is, okay? And you want to do something special, you got to make sure that you have a dope, out of this world charcuterie board there, okay? If I show up to an event and there's a sick ass charcuterie board, I appreciate it so much. I take pictures of it. I'm like, oh my God, look how cute this is. You guys have to check out Charcuterie. All right. That's spelled K-H-A-R Shootery. They offer charcuterie boards, boxes, and tables. They're based in Vancouver, but they have pickup locations in Surrey and Abbotsford, and they also offer delivery in the Lower Mainland. They're able to accommodate allergies and dietary restrictions, a perfect add-on to any gathering. Also, Valentine's Day is coming. You guys have one more week, okay? So make sure you guys hit them up for Valentine's Day as well. If you mention the podcast, sorry, not the podcast. You know, you do mention the podcast, but mention coaches for 15% off any order, and they will hook you guys up. Ain't no event without a charcuterie board from Charcuterie. Link is in the episode details. Okay, next question. Hey, Coach B. I think my own cousin is scamming me.
Very likely. 100%.
Okay. My family has a yearly Christmas tradition of doing Secret Santa amongst the cousins. We do a larger Christmas budget. Yes, we are prepared to get shit on for this. Of $400.
Yeah, that's pretty hefty.
That's crazy. I'm bitching and complaining about $200. Like, we need to punch this down.
I was thinking punch it up.
Oh my God.
Don't judge the gift I'm going.
$400?
Yeah.
That's kind of wild.
It is pretty hefty, but y'all fuck yeah. You guys got it like
those
that.
Apple headphones, like the over-the-ear ones, are $800?
Really?
Yeah. I was just at the Apple store earlier. Did you get a charger?
Damn.
And I was like, if it's under $500.
I was thinking of getting those because I saw some girl have them and they look cool.
But then he's like, $799. I'm like, all right. So where are the...
Where's your cell phone cases? For the iPhone 12?
For the iPhone 12.
No, I'm even too cheap to buy a case from the Apple store. I have to buy it from the kiosk in the hallway.
Okay, so the budget is $400. If someone wants a present that's over the budget, they will just pay the difference to the person the day of. This year, I asked for Dior earrings, which were $800. When Christmas Day came, I gave my cousin the $400 that was over the budget. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No.
I feel like just...
It's so stupid.
It makes sense, but it's like so dumb. It's just like a business transaction. Right?
You transfer each other $400.
Yeah, it's not like a present. Like, it's like, put what's only on the budget on your list.
Yeah. It should be like everyone... Like, if the budget's $400, select a bunch of $400 items or a bunch of things that total up to $400. Yeah. Like a couple $100 things, a $200 thing, maybe.
Yeah,
like
I'm going to have one thing on my list that's $800 and then I'll give you the extra $400.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. And then so you're going to hit up the fucking TD ATM on your way to your fucking chachi's house.
No, or you need to e-transfer your cousin.
Yeah. Like that's just like, that's a straight up business transaction.
That's very dumb. Okay. Anyways. So this year, I
would not want to do that because I want the credit card points.
The second time I wore them, I realized that one of the earrings didn't lock properly, so I texted him asking for the receipt. He told me that he would look for the receipt, and later that afternoon, we all went out for my sister's birthday dinner, and he drove me. He drove me, his fiancé, and another cousin. I asked him if he had found the receipt, and his fiancé responds, I've messaged the sales associate who we got it from. They once again ignored the part about the receipt and said that they can only do the return on their credit card. Oh, and then she said that she wanted to get them like exchanged, not returned. Yeah. And they were saying like, no, we can't do that. Like, we can only like get a refund on our credit card.
Okay.
So, okay.
It's weird.
At this point, me and my other cousins are already sensing something sketchy is happening. I then proceeded to message my cousin for the receipt and he told me he's looking for it. Then I asked him for the account because when you make a purchase at Dior, they don't let you without the account.
He told me he wasn't sure what number he used and to try his. I called them and gave them the phone number, and they said there's no purchase or account that has been made with that number. By now, I really think something is up. Did they buy them off Facebook Marketplace? Or are they fake and he just made me pay him the money and scammed me out of that as well?
That'd be the sickest thing.
That would be the sickest thing.
You just order them on like Etsy or some shit, right?
What's that thing that there's so many people that are using some one place or one
Wish.
Is it? No, one site. Temu. Is it
Temu or Temu?
I don't know. Something.
A fucking Alibaba.
Yeah, something like that.
People are getting all this fake stuff that looks really real.
So she's saying, why would they not keep the receipt of such an expensive item, especially if it was a gift for someone else? What should I do if he can't find the receipt? You take the loss, bro.
This is why you shouldn't be doing these kind of
transactions.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have kept it at $400. Why would you pay that? You're just setting yourself up for the scam.
Yeah.
That's like me walking in like, our budget's $200. All right, okay. I'm wish this. So just a fucking goodie. I'll cover the rest of the fucking $86,500. You guys just pay the fucking, like, so dumb, man.
I'm seriously thinking of going and getting them authenticated. We could completely be DeLulu, or we could be the best detectives ever. How should I approach this conversation?
I mean, it doesn't do
get your Dior
science.
Earrings authenticated?
Bro, just take the L at this point.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you could go back to Dior and be like, hey, listen, someone gave me these as a gift. Are these like legit? And I'm sure they'll tell you. That's just be like, yo, I went to the fucking store. The chick looked at them and she said, yo, these aren't legit. These are fake. They're not from us. Yeah. And there's no like order, nothing, whatever. And be like, listen, just give me the $400 back. I'll go buy it myself. Yeah. And then just leave it at that. Yeah. And if he says, yo, no, they're not. Be like, dude, I don't care like whether they are or not. Just give me the $400.
Yeah.
And take the earrings back. Just give it back to him and be like, give me the $400.
Yeah. Just be like, I don't care what the story is. Just like, yeah. And if he's not giving you the money, then threaten that you're going to tell everyone. Yeah. Do embarrass him.
Yeah.
And then cut him out of next year's Secret Santa. And stop this like weird pay the difference policy you guys have.
Straight up, just go $400 and that's the budget. That's the budget.
Yeah.
No gift that should be more than $400.
Isn't the point of the whole point is if it is to have the budget so no one goes over.
Such a desi Christmas, man.
Such a desi Christmas.
This is so bad.
There's like no surprise in it or anything.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you guys do? Why are you wrapping the fucking gifts then?
You're,
you
know what I mean? You're paying someone else on Christmas. Aren't you supposed to receive gifts on Christmas?
Yeah. Like,
hey, coach, love the podcast. I have a weird issue. So basically, my cousin had a boyfriend who I got along with, but they broke up 2 months ago. I was at a wedding a few weeks ago, and he happened to be there. He was getting really drunk, popping pegs and shit.
What kind of thing?
Popping pegs?
That's what young people are saying now?
Are they?
Popping pegs?
Popping pegs.
I don't know about that.
Anyway, he kept coming up to my cousin and trying to talk to her. Eventually, my cousin asked me to stop him coming over. So the next time he tried to come over to see her, I tried to stop him. And he was so fucked, he started yelling at me and called me a gulab jamun.
Why?
What?
Now, I'm a big guy, but I wasn't going
to... Wait. This is a guy?
Yeah, it's a guy.
Oh.
Like, he's trying to stop his cousin's ex from coming up.
Oh.
Because she was like, yo, stop this guy, whatever. Yeah.
That's the funniest dick.
Oh, damn, yeah. That threw me for a loop there. I thought this was a girl. I was like,
No. So then he called me a glob jammer. Now, I'm a big guy, but I wasn't going to take that disrespectful behavior. So I pushed this guy. And then people around him sweeped him away before he did something. I left after some random auntie started yelling at me. I kind of found it funny, but yesterday I got a text from him asking me to meet him at Boston Pizza. I don't know what to do.
Control Tony, man. 100%. Yeah. Boston Pizza? He's like, meet me at Boston Pizza?
Yeah.
Fucking go.
Yeah.
Serious business goes down at Boston Pizza. Just ask Tony, okay?
Sure. Go. Take your pen with you.
Take your pen with you.
You might be signing some contracts. 100%. Go grab one of your boys and go. Be like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah.
Pop a couple pegs on his tab.
Yeah, popping pegs at Boston Pizza.
Yeah, you might not make it inside. You guys are probably in the parking lot, but whatever. Fucking get out there.
What do you mean?
He's not saying pull
outside.
Up to Boston Pizza so we can talk inside over a fucking bag.
No, Gravine, no. He's not inviting him to Boston Pizza for a dinner to discuss like calm men.
Yeah.
He's calling him over to
some fucking Thai chicken bites. And cactus cut potatoes.
Yo, do they still have the cactus cut potatoes on the menu?
Ask your husband.
They do have them still.
They do? Okay, well, can we go and have them one day?
Take your husband. He goes there. Why are you asking me? Ask your husband.
Yeah, ask him what the menu looks like. Yeah. Tony's the one keeping the menu alive.
Dude.
Okay, well then why would you say to like come to a restaurant? Why don't you just be like,
because he's trying to say, yo, meet me at Boston Pizza in the parking.
Outside. Let's go.
Outside where? You have to pick a location.
Yeah, and the location he picked was Boston Pizza.
Yeah, you can't just be like, meet me at this plaza. You have to be like, meet me at the Boston Pizza over here.
Yeah, it's like a local, you know, it's like a local like gang landmark.
Establishment for gang activity.
Gangbang.
Gangbang. Hey coaches, love the pod. Need some insight on this as it's my Roman Empire, and I have had the occasional mental breakdown over it.
Someone explain that to me first.
What?
When people say, my Roman Empire is...
What does that mean? Something they like a lot.
You remember, like, there was a whole trend on TikTok about how guys think about the Roman Empire, like, so many times a week or something?
Oh, okay.
It's, like, something that they think about a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's, like, something being your Roman Empire is, like, you're thinking about this thing a lot.
Oh. Constantly. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Got it now. Yeah. All right, continue.
And I have the occasional mental breakdown over it. When you get married, how do you just start living with your partner? Like, you have to share the washroom, beds, everything? And they see you at your ugliest? Ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up.
It is pretty fucked up. But
I do, like, I was thinking about the whole, like, sharing a bed thing recently.
Yeah.
I was like, how do people just sleep with someone else in their bed? Like, I was actually having that thought while I was sleeping in bed, like, trying to go to sleep, because I was like...
First of all, it's because you have a queen bed or a double or whatever. Is it a double?
First of all, I have a queen. How dare you, the audacity. Yeah, but I just, like, but some people sleep in queen beds. Not everyone has a king bed.
We have a queen.
Really?
So it's like, so then I was laying there. I'm like, I can't imagine, like, someone else being here just there. It would be annoying me, because, like, I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, yeah. like...
Do whatever the hell
you want. Or, like, just a flip around whenever I want to flip around. Or, like, you know, like, I would be scared to be disturbing the other person.
Yeah, but that's where you can...
No, you get over that real quick. Straight up. Sometimes yeah. I'll come into the room, Karen goes to sleep before me.
Yeah.
Especially in the winter, and she'll wrap herself up in the blanket. I'm fucking fully 3 a.m., fucking kitch it off for everything. She gets so mad, but fuck it.
I would like, why so you wrapped mad. Up in this shit? I'd be filing for divorce. Be like, how dare you? Walk three steps, pick up another J.
No, fuck that. What the hell?
Divorce.
Why would I ever do that?
What?
Divorce.
Get it? Why couldn't you? I literally, the old solution to me was just use a different J.
No.
Why?
I want to use that. It's like a okay, nice.
Clearly, you have some work to do on this growth journey.
Are you dumb? If we're in the same bed, we have one big blanket. We're sharing the blanket, so you can't just wrap yourself up in it.
Yeah, but it's like
you can. We live in a first world country. No, we can.
But wouldn't you want your own rajai?
No, but I want that one.
Okay, then go get the same one.
So what if she uses like another one? And you use that one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh my god!
Wow.
Pam, handle your brother.
Why?
I can't. Like.
Okay, so there's this whole thing, like, if you look into it a little bit more, you'll find stuff where so a lot of people talk about how it's actually just, like, this socially made up thing for, like, a couple to sleep in the same bed. Mm-hmm. You really don't have to.
Yeah.
You can sleep in two separate beds.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that do that, mm-hmm. but they just don't talk about it because then otherwise people are like, oh, are you two don't get along, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's, like, some of the... healthiest relationships or like, you know, couples that have like the best relationships don't sleep in the same bed.
Do you and Tony?
Now we do. Now freaking my whole goddamn family sleeps in the same. There's fucking four of us.
Tony's down at the feet.
Dude, Tony's literally about to fall off the bed every single day. Some days he actually does just go either sleep on another bed or he sleeps on the sofa. But there were several years in between where we, because it was just the two of us and I could go sleep in any one of our freaking other rooms, where I had the best sleep of my life sleeping in a different room. And I was just happier the next day. Like, we weren't like annoying each other for little things. And then when we first got married, we actually had, because we were in a two bedroom, two bathroom condo, I used to use the other washroom. So all my stuff was in another washroom. And I know a lot of people that do that.
I wish I could do that.
I was watching these TikToks where it's like these like couples who have completely different bedrooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they live in the same house.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird.
Which is...
That's so weird.
There you go. Then there's people like this. But then he's the same one yanking the rajai off of his wife.
Yeah. What do you mean? It's fucking fair game.
What about the seeing you at your ugliest? What about that? How have you kept it a secret, Graveen? Share your secrets.
Of what?
Like, you haven't, like, Tony's never heard you pee. He's never, like, you don't fart in front of him.
Leave the water on.
Like, what, like, how have you been able to keep it under wraps for over 10 years?
Griffin's fucking utilities bills through the roof. Right now.
Marry someone that can afford that utility.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's no secret that I run the water when I go to the washroom, so.
You
can't. But like, seeing but you at like, your ugliest, like. I show up here looking like not my, I wouldn't say my ugliest, like my ugliest is just naturally the way I am. Like that's just putting,
okay.
No, that's just this person just putting themselves down.
Yeah, I didn't say it. You
at said the
it.
End of the day, like what are we supposed to do?
Griffin's like, yeah, but just socially, naturally I'm ugly.
No, not yeah. anymore. I know that much.
What?
That's a personal growth I've done, okay?
Okay. I thought you made some physical changes. Like, I'm like, I don't
know. Oh, well, yeah, I've definitely.
Get your money back.
No, I've definitely. Hey, y'all, Pap.
But you're talking about just like, you know, mentally. Like, you're like, oh, I'm.
No. You've accepted it.
Yeah, like, not even. Yeah, you're just delusional.
Certain things I've accepted, but I know for a fact, like, that there's a lot that has changed. There's literally money that I've paid for some things to change. But no, it's just, that's just being comfortable with yourself.
Oh, okay.
You know, some people are like,
that's like the opposite.
Be comfortable enough where you can physically change the appearances by paying money.
Because you're not comfortable with them.
Because you're not comfortable with them. Yeah. And then once it changes, you will be comfortable with it.
Okay, but even before.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Basic okay, so Pat, man, remember guys. That day? Remember that day when I came across my wedding prologue and I was like, oh, Pam, look what I found. And I sent it to you. And then I showed it to Tony. I'm like, oh, he like, look at what I found. He's like, so we're watching it. And I'm like, okay, I can't watch this anymore. I hate the way that I look. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you look the same. I'm like, do not freaking say that. I do not look like that. And first of all, I was wearing way too much makeup. And I'm like, there's just so much that's changed. Like, I don't like my eyebrows. I don't like my freaking teeth, like nothing. And so,
you change your whole face.
But he fully.
My eyebrows, eyelashes, my nose, my teeth, my lips.
My lips.
What the my fuck lips. Is left? My, I don't know.
My forehead.
And then I accepted it. Yeah.
No.
After I changed it.
And now because of all that personal growth.
Yeah, after some permanent eyebrow, like permanent makeup, like eyebrows, oh it's been great.
Hey, Coach P, my boyfriend and I were together for 5 years until he recently passed away.
Yeah.
It has been devastating to deal with, and I don't wish this on anyone ever. I'm 26 and he was 28 at the time that he passed away. It's been almost a year since his death now, but some girl contacted me recently saying that my boyfriend was cheating on me. And was with her for the past 2 years before he died. She showed me screenshots and everything, and it's even more devastating and shocking to have found this out now. She even told me that she was at the funeral and didn't want to reach out earlier since it was a shock to everyone. I know this isn't the ideal situation, and I hate to have these negative emotions towards my late boyfriend, but I cannot help but hate him now. For all that happened, we were happy together and we were supposed to get engaged until my life turned upside down. I don't even know how to feel about this. I'm in a very difficult position and I feel guilty to move on, but at the same time, I hate him. She also said he passed away from an SDA. I don't know what that means.
Just Google it.
I tried to Google it. Nothing came up.
SDA?
Yeah, he passed away from a SDA.
ASDA?
Yeah, a SDA.
SDA or ASDA?
SDA. A, not A.
Stop saying that. It's SDA. He passed away because of an A.
Yeah, but she wrote at ASDA.
Okay.
Everything is at that Seventh Day Adventist. Yeah,
it's like some church thing or whatever that's showing up.
No, it says SDA process, the most elective surgery patients now enter. Sudden death syndrome. No, that's SDS. Joe, fuck it. He died because of some shit.
Hold on. This is SDAV. Sialodacryodentist.
I have no idea what SDAV
virus. Yeah, it's transmitted via aerosol or contact with infected nasal or salivary secretions. The virus is highly infectious. Blah, blah, blah. The rat coronavirus. Excuse me?
Whatever. The banda died. And you found out he cheated on you.
Yeah.
Joe, fuck, man.
Okay,
he's
honestly.
He's gone now. What can you do?
Honestly, I don't know if this is a bad thing to say, but there's a special place in hell for that girl.
Which yeah.
One? The girl that told her.
Oh, yeah. That's just
what
tripping.
What business do you have now?
Yeah.
Saying anything at all?
Yeah. Like, that's the first thing I was thinking.
That's the number one thing.
Like, what the hell?
Like, you knew you were the side piece for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
He dies. Why now do you have to say something? You should have said something before.
Yeah, because clearly she knew she was the side
chick. Yeah, she's like, because I was going to come up to you at the funeral. So you knew.
Oh.
So what are you getting out of telling her now?
Yeah. Drama.
Like, what do you think? What do you think you're going to become like BFFs now and stuff?
Yeah, I wonder if she was like, I need closure. And so I need to tell this girl so then she can move on with her life and I can move on with my
life. No, she has already was trying to do that.
Yeah.
You just made it worse now for ruining for her.
Yeah.
Like, that to me seems like the only reason to do that would be like a malicious act.
Yeah.
That if I feel shitty.
Yeah.
I'm pissed that I was never like the one. Yeah. And I'm going to make you feel like shitty about this now too.
Yeah.
And this is the only way I can do it. Dude, fuck that chick, bro. Like, you had absolutely no reason to go and do that other than to, like, bring down someone else. You can, obviously you're going to feel, like,
ways.
Like, you're going to hate him. You're going to have all these things. You are eventually going to get over that as well.
Yeah.
And then you'll forgive him and then you'll, like, move on. It's like you'll go through, like, these, like, phases.
Yeah. It's a process.
It's a process.
It's time.
Time will help you, like,
forgive
and forget type of deal.
People have lost their minds. Oh, my God.
What?
I'm just thinking about that. Like, what went through your head to be, like, sending screenshots? Oh, my God.
Like, you should have done that when he was alive.
Yeah, 100%.
When you had something to gain from it.
Or what if, like, one of her friends is, like, the side girl? Her friend is like, you should tell her. She deserves to know.
There's a high probability that probably happened. Because I say this all the time. Girls should not take advice from their friends.
What?
Like,
the world would stop going around if that happened.
I know, but still. Because sometimes I just hear the advice, man, that comes out of chicks' mouths sometimes. And I'm just like sitting there like, no.
But that's why you just have to pick your friends wisely.
You have to pick your friends wisely, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, not all like.
No, I know. You guys are comparing it to yourselves and your
friends. Obviously,
friend
if the side girl had saying, proper like, friends, her proper friends would have told her to not be with a guy that's in a relationship.
And then if he died and then she was like, I feel like telling her, I'd be like, are you dumb?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Like, there's no point now, like, in saying anything. Like, it's not going to make you feel good.
Most chicks are like that though. Like, I feel like vast majority of people don't have like people in their lives that are like that would say that, like, be like, no, shut up, like, don't fucking say shit. I feel like most chicks would be like, oh, if that's how you're feeling, you should get it off your chest and like it'll help you feel better. It's like, what the? And I'm just sitting there like, well, are you fucking dumb? Like, you know, this is the dumbest idea, man.
100% someone probably said that to her. Yeah. Like, you need to get it off your chest. But it's like, at what cost?
Yeah, maybe. Oh yeah, somebody that's helping her through her grief could be like, you know what? You should do what's gonna like help
this
you.
This is for you, and it's about you and how you're feeling. You need to get through your grief. Blah, blah. Well, shut the fuck up, buddy. Oh. Fucking bitches out here, even after you're dead, fucking you over.
Oh my God.
That's what you get for having a side chick.
Yeah. That's real karma, right? You're welcome. Imagine, right? You're in heaven and shit, then all of a sudden your girl finds out. God slaps you. It's not a get the fuck out of here. You're like, fuck, man.
All right, guys, that's it for this week's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed. Make sure you follow Gurk on Instagram at Karan Patti Real Estate. Best deal with
wait, but for Karan Patti Real Estate, we got possible announcement happening. I'm in the process of getting my BC license now.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we will be having people in BC to buy, sell, invest our tank.
Think and grow rich, eh?
Think and grow rich. We're all Napoleon Hill out here.
Sales of that book are about
to
go up.
Out here.
I fully bought the book while we were sitting here.
I have it right here.
I know, but I like to have my own.
But yeah, if you're in BC and you want to sell your BC house, buy a house in BC, invest in BC.
And then bring your money over to Alberta?
No. If you don't even need to do that, you can keep it in BC.
There we go. All right. And follow Gerveen on Instagram at There Goes Gerveen. Do you have any announcements, Gerveen, that you want to
actually
make?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
I'm planning on starting a podcast with...
Okay, no. Don't announce it until it's actually...
I'm going to announce it because it's the only way I'm going to be held accountable.
Oh, God.
No, but I actually talked to someone over the weekend and she wants to do it. And so I have a reminder in my phone right now to grab whatever podcast equipment you had. And I'm going to do it.
What's your podcast going to be about?
That one's going to be just like, it's going to be like lifestyle.
What do you mean?
Like lifestyle, like maintaining a healthy lifestyle and like parenting stuff.
Oh, chick's like, I'm going to go get McDonald's the long way home.
Crispy. Oh, I'm going to crispy.
Guys, it's about the balance. She's fully a vegan.
They're just fucking on podcast like, trying to be the next Gary Brecka.
No. Who's Gary Brecka?
All right.
Like fucking Jared from Subway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, sure, Gerveen can announce it, but I don't like to announce things until, like, they're done because I find that.
Did you know it's actually a proven fact? So if you have, like, let's say you want to do something, when you tell someone, you get a dopamine rush in your brain and it triggers that thing in your brain that makes you think, like, I did it. It was, like, a success. I did this thing. And now that you've told someone...
That's why everyone talks shit?
No. Straight up,
they're just doing it for the dopamine hit.
Yeah, dude, seriously. And they're like, there's a way higher probability once you tell someone, like, for example, like you'd be like, hey guys, I'm gonna start a podcast without actually having done like a name, the episode or whatever, having any of that shit done. Once you say it, you've now released this dopamine rush in your brain that would have given you the same effect as if you actually went and did all of that shit and then told someone. Mm-hmm. But because you've already triggered that now, the probability of you actually going and doing it gets significantly reduced.
Oh, it gets reduced?
I thought he was going to say the opposite.
Yeah,
thing.
I thought it was going to be like, now you're going to chase that dopamine rush.
And that's why, that makes sense. Yeah. That's exactly why I stopped announcing things. Because when I would get the reaction of, oh, that's sick, then it would be it's over. For me.
Oh, shit.
Completely done. And I don't have any like inkling to do it now.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I'm definitely more like on the accountability side of things, that if you say it, I'm like, if I say it, I'll.
You can say that all you want, but your past has shown otherwise.
Yes. Right? There goes Gerveen is a great example.
Because she went nowhere. I'm moving to BC, guys. No, Gerveen didn't even go there.
So far, everything you have announced, nothing has.
Okay, you know what? You're putting the fire under my ass to do it all.
Oh, sure. There.
Someone, the amount of people that messaged in the anonymous form, hey, just wondering. There goes Gerveen. Where is she going? Because she hasn't gone anywhere.
Nowhere. She already went where she was going.
When is Gerveen
going
to start posting? Because she's been 2 years. She hadn't posted a single thing.
If anything, I even deleted a post yesterday. I archived it. I've been slowly archiving my whole page.
As if she's like a huge success, right? I don't need this anymore. I'm already...
I don't know if it's fully. I think I'm down to like 3 posts right now.
Oh, really?
I have this thing where like, I have a really hard time sharing. I can share a lot like on like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is more easier because you're sharing it. You feel like you're talking to just us.
Yeah, like you don't have to put
it in the effort. Oh my God, you are down to 3 posts.
Am I?
But no, but that's a proven scientific thing where if you're doing something or if you're trying to do something, the moment you tell someone and they give you that validation, like, oh, that's sick, or oh, that's good, whatever, automatically you've put yourself at like a the percentage was so high. Like, I want to say it was like over 70%.
Oh, is that what people say? Just like move in silence. Like,
don't tell anyone until it's done.
Yeah. Like make moves in silence. Yeah. Or like real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Straight up.
I do 100% see that, because all the things that I do feel like I do and I get done and they're good are things nobody knows about.
Yeah. No one knows about those things. Yeah, facts.
Because, you just, manufactured that feeling of like what you want people to be like, you know? You want people to come and be like, yo, Graveen, your podcast was so sick. But rather than doing the podcast, you can just say it and they'll be like, oh my God, that's so sick. And
you'll get the same reaction. Wow.
No, but now I fully have like an accountability to this other person that I said, hey, yeah, I'll do this with you. And B, if I...
But that other person probably doing the same thing you are. They're probably like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast with Graveen. And I was like, oh, that's so sick. And she's probably like, sick. Just says...
Already got the, all the clout without any of the work.
It was at my book club meeting this past weekend. And everyone was like losing it.
Those are the two announcements. And follow the official podcast, Instagram account, Coach B Podcast. And we'll catch you next week on Coaches Don't Play. Okay, bye.
The podcast is over. Why are you still listening? Just kidding. If you don't know what to listen to next, check out the Dissy Don't Dulls playlist on Spotify. If you want to listen to the latest, greatest, most dope Punjabi songs out there right now, they update that playlist every single Friday. Link is in the episode details.
I follow the Dissy Don't Dulls playlist, and this is my favorite song right now.
Check him out, Dissy Don't Doze.